Hello and welcome to This Day Rocks from Vintage Rock Pod, the ultimate classic rock podcast, with a big name interview show released every Monday and one of these short episodes every day, Tuesday through Sunday. I'm Paul Stevenson. Thanks as always for hitting play. Now, today is November the 6th, and on this day in 1995, Queen released Made in Heaven. It was an album pieced together from recordings made before Freddie Mercury died in 1991. As you'd expect, it went straight in at number one on the charts here in the UK. Going back to 1979, and my namesake, Paul Simon, my middle name is genuinely Simon. Yes, I know. Well, he kicked off his latest British tour at London's Hammersmith Odeon. He was also very generous because he offered to buy everyone in the audience a drink. The tab ran to £2,000. Ouch. And speaking of live shows, on this day in 1970, Aerosmith played their first ever gig when they performed at Nipmuc Regional High School in Mendon, Massachusetts. Apologies if I've mispronounced the name there. From those humble beginnings, they go on to become America's biggest selling rock band of all time, with over 150 million records sold. Not bad at all. And rounding out our live music topic, on this day in 1965, the Jefferson Airplane performed at the San Francisco Mime Troupe Benefit. Now, this is notable because it was the first show put on by soon-to-be legendary promoter Bill Graham. So there you go. But for today's show, we look at an iconic classic rock song that peaked on the US chart on this day in 1976. Yes, peaking at number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100 on this day in 1976 and becoming the group's biggest hit is the cowbell classic Don't Fear the Reaper. Taken from Blue Oyster Cult's Agents of Fortune album, the song would become the group's signature tune, a real classic rock anthem. Now with me to talk about the origins of this song is Blue Oyster Cult's very own Albert Bouchard.
Don't Fear the Reaper, I mean, we can't not touch on it. It was absolutely massive. It was just incredible. It just kind of came out of nowhere. And in terms of the song itself, the structure, I mean, it stops twice. It's not a regular kind of song either. And the fact that it still gets played on the radio and stuff today is still phenomenal. I mean, what was your thoughts at the time? And what's your thoughts about the song now, looking back 45 years on?
Oh, well, you know, the first time I heard it, Don had just called me up and said, here's this riff I just wrote. I think it's really cool. And I was like, oh, yeah, it sounds a little bit like Teen Archer. He goes, yeah, I'm using the same chords, you know. And he gave me a cassette, you know, to listen to on the plane. I had my Sony Walkman. And so I listened to the cassette, and I'm like, whoa, this is a hit. Holy cow, man. This is the best song I've ever heard. You know, and I thought it was just amazing. It was unusual. Now, there was only one verse, just the one verse. And I was like, oh, Don, you need to make it longer, though. It's only like a minute and a half. I said, well, I got some ideas. He goes, don't worry, I got it all figured out. Yeah, but I knew it was a hit. And how do I feel about it now? I love it. I still love the song. I think it's a phenomenal piece of music and also a phenomenal idea. I really, what upset me for a little while was that when people said, oh, it's about suicide. And I'm like, what? I never got that, you know? And then they're like, well, Romeo and Juliet. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I suppose. I mean, is that what you think of when you think of Romeo and Juliet? I mean, not me. I think about these lovers, you know, and how crazy they were about each other and how their families were against it and all of this other stuff, you know, against all odds, you know. So I thought it was just super romantic. You know, I think Don, you know, he was raised some Protestant religion, and I think he's sort of agnostic. You know, he's not really into going to church or any of that stuff. So this was his like trying to imagine a life after death.
The brilliant Albert Bouchard there. That's just a short clip taken from my full interview with him, which you can hear on episode 44 of Vintage Rock Pod. He talks about the cowbell phenomenon that followed, about the other hits of the group leaving the band, lots more as well. So check out the full interview, episode 44. and I actually got to see Albert and his brother Joe play a small gig here in Scotland in the summer. They played a mix of kind of Blue Oyster Cult songs and songs from each of their own albums as well. It was a nice little intimate gig. I really enjoyed it. But that is it for November the 6th. No This Day Rocks tomorrow, as it's the longer regular show on a Monday, of course. But if you're a fan of these short rock stories, then definitely do check it out. So, until then, take care.